These are policies that the school committee has had in place for a while, or policies that the town has had in place that we're implementing on a spot basis. So, you know, we're not trying to come in here to say, look, we're out of step with the town. What we're doing is in step with the town and in step with policies and practices in the past.
We understand this isn't new, that it's been in policy. You've said that. But in the past, we haven't had these financial problems that we've had in the future. You're talking about that these have been in place and they have been there. I've been on the Finance Committee for 4.5 years, and the budget has drastically changed in that time. When I came on to Finance Committee, we used to argue over the excess money we had. We had financial forms because this was more, this was more. That's no longer. So the reason why we're asking now is because of the financial difficulties we're in now. Sure. And as we just heard, it's getting worse. And we certainly do understand the overtime with the police and fire. That's something the Finance Committee discusses every year at budget time, is the overtime for police and fire. You can compare your administrators to the town manager, who has no assistant town manager anymore because that's been cut, and who also works many nights and hours. Sure. On the town side, there are many administrators here who do the same thing, the Finance Committee, who work. It's not, you know, if we had it differently, we would be able to pay them all overtime.
Absolutely. I just was going to say that the difference is, though, the school department didn't ask for a supplement as the town manager did to give adjustments. We did it within our budget.
We made policy decisions on how we would run the school system, where we would invest our money to get the best return for the town and the children.
And let me there just say, go. Let me yeah. just, and that's what it is, Mary. And let me just say, this is our sixth year with this same administrative team intact. Mm-hmm. And that sort of consistency at this high level is a remarkable, puts forth a remarkable benefit for your children and my children.
Right, I agree.
And that's something that, you're right, it is a policy decision, I said that, Pete highlighted that we made in order to help us retain these exceptional administrators.
It's important to note, though, there is a lot more autonomy on the school department side. Town meeting can't go line by line. Mm-hmm. But I assure you, every single dollar that's ever been given to any administrator, the school committee has seen it or voted on it, and they've been involved with it. And so there's nothing going on that the elected officials are not fully involved with, or at least been brought in on a memo or something like that.
Nor has there ever been a time that we have not provided every bit of information that your committee has asked us to bring forward.
We'll stay here till midnight if you need us, and we'll be at your next meeting if you want us.
Before we get too much further, I want to respond to the comment you made about Peter coming back to ask for money. The reason why Peter comes back to ask for money is the excess, what he saves goes back into free cash. He doesn't say, okay, I'm not going to generate excess free cash because I want to give a bonus. He comes back and asks for it separately. I mean, it's not that Peter isn't, you know, trying to pare his expenses and, either.
We're sure he's doing a fine job at doing that. That's not our issue. We never intended to suggest.
Okay, I just wanted just to clear that up for anyone. Karen?
Yes, one thing that came to my mind when this, you know, came to our attention was after having gone through first cycle as a member of the board, I was thinking, well, what was the source of funding for this? And maybe if you could review that with us or with me, what was the source? Because I was expected in my mind, I went back to the book looking for the line item or looking for the description that this existed, and I couldn't find it. And then on this, we got a 2001 budget analysis as part of the package, and I guess it's still not really clear to me how you source the funds.
It's funded through the administrative line. I have a chart that shows you that every single line exceeds what the school committee asked me to budget as a flat amount, which was 3.5%. So if you check the administrative line, I think it's 7.9. I think you check the principal line, it's 4%, and et cetera. And so it's budgeted within the personnel line of the school budget.
So where there's a negative variance on administration, is that then as a negative?
I'm not sure I know what you're looking at.
I'm looking at Reading Public Schools fiscal year budget analysis as of June 30th, 2002.
Okay, that chart does not just represent personnel. It's most of it has to do with the operational budget of the committee and the administration. So the overage in that particular case was the copier, the Xerox copier, which serves the entire school district, the 46,000.
Well, that was, it's in here in parentheses.
As a shortfall.
It shows a shortfall.
That's correct. What happened is that the parents and the administrators and the teachers in the district, because we have a clicker on that copy. So if you go into our budget, you'll find it's broken into two parts, a personnel part and an operational part. And the vast majority of that money came, almost all of it, Richard's here, he can articulate it, came from the operational side, not the administrative side.
Okay, so the source of funding for the vacation buyback, the merit in the...
Okay.
Was...
I get the question.
Right here.
What's the source of funding for the for the vacation buyback?
It's the school department budget. It's not taken out of anything other than the personnel line. So we budget it within the personnel line. So if you go into here, this represents personnel. So it was built into this line. But the shortfall that's talked about came from this, which is the operational budget, either transportation or professional development. So mm-hmm. there are two parts of our budget on every single one of the programs that generate those numbers.
Mm-hmm. So the money's then distributed for what we're talking about here this evening come out of this administration line item?
Personnel line, right.
Personnel line item under... administration.
Same thing for principals under regular days.
Although it has a, it looks like a FTE number of 2.0.
That's correct. It's the superintendent and the associate superintendent.
Now I'm confused because we're addressing these payouts to a much broader number of people than that.
Regular day.
Okay.
Three more pages. You see the exact same setup. Personnel page.
We'll go to regular day.
Operational. And you'll see the principals and assistant principals are built there. You go to special ed, you'll see the director of special ed. Mm-hmm. They're all there.
And it's in the pink. Okay, so okay. It's a regular day. And it's under the salaries and wages.
That's correct.
And this is the $16 million covers the salaries and wages.
Line above it.
I'm looking at the top line.
It's on a different page.
I'm sorry. Right, 16
that
million.
Covers the teachers, but if you go over here, you okay. see principals at 883,000, right. teachers at 14.2 million. Mm-hmm. It came out of this line.
Mm-hmm.
And if you continue, and you go to special, the director came out of that line. And if you continue,
mm-hmm.
each of the directors have their own line. Director, the director of nursing, director of athletics, director of you go to custodial.
Okay, so what you're saying then is that all these, the vacation buyback,
mm-hmm.
the merit, are all in those numbers. So you budget for them, you just don't disclose it per se in this document.
Well, let me say this, there is in every line of every budget more in there than that line, you know, and you go to textbooks and we don't disclose every textbook. We have a lot of things in there that we pay.
Look, I asked, then you brought up the comparison of the overtime to the merit piece. When we budget the overtime, Peter, is that, like for police, that was one example of fire department, is that a separate line item in police and fire department?
Sure, if you, I don't know how many of you have your budget books, but I just turned to police. A second here.
Yeah, I think the answer to that is yes. The police and fire right. have typically been budgeted, well, under budgeted as a line item on every municipal budget.
So just for example, in police, you have a line for chief, a line for lieutenants, a line for sergeants, a line for detectives, a line for officers, a line for clerks, a line for school traffic, a line for overtime, a line for holiday pay, a line for temporary position, which is the monitors and matrons, and a line for sick leave buyback.
Okay.
That's typically what we've provided.
I mean, I think for me anyways, that was what kind of caught me off guard was a sense that was the disparity between what I remember being discussed in, you talk about the bottom line authority, which is, you know, certainly the case, but we do take the time to go through page by page as a board. We all spend a lot of time doing that, and I would think certainly this would be something that would be worthwhile putting out in the open so that people do understand on an ongoing basis that this is part and parcel of how you manage that business.
The question, though, is how, where in the town budget to buy back on the fireman's vacation time?
It happened 3 years ago.
It happened this year in January 2002. I checked with town hall today.
I don't recall that. It's probably just in the overtime budget.
No, I think it's very, very reasonable to ask us that question, and we'll try as we put together the next year's budget. There's some issues like that we certainly can try and illuminate a little better. And I think maybe at this point you might have a sense, especially people that have not been on the committee a while, of a couple of these practices that have been going on, and now you might have a better clarity as to the questions to ask regarding the budget. But one thing I did want to say is, one thing that was, I don't want to say irritating to me, but the term perks was thrown around. These aren't perks. These are the methods by which we compensate, by which we reward, by which we ask for performance above and beyond what would normally be expected. These are not perks. These are salary obligations, contractual obligations. These are the policies that help us run a school system with fewer resources than most school systems of our size. We have beat the drum forever about being a model community. We spend less per pupil than any of the surrounding communities, except maybe North Reading. They're about in the same boat. And we produce a great product for that. But I just wanted to get that on the table, because when I hear that term, it really bothers me to think that people will equate our hardworking administrators with some of the things that have been going on in this town that this board is keenly aware of. Our administrators earn every penny, and we reward them with a very small bit of merit pay to encourage them to continue that performance.
I think you're talking two different issues here, merit pay and vacation buyback. I can see the merit pay. If your principals are working on the building projects, have to put in extra time, you kind of keep a little tally of that, and they may deserve some merit pay. The vacation buyback, now you've said over the past several years there's been a lot of days lost by different administrators. How come all of a sudden now you decided to pay this the first time, and you're paying for this? Mm-hmm. Why wasn't that just thrown into part of the calculation for the merit pay? And because nobody likes to lose vacation days. In industry, the practice is normally use it or lose it type policy for administrators, any management type personnel. The whole thing should be, the administration should make every effort to make sure the people get their vacation time. And then if there's something comes up that's outside of the ordinary, then it maybe it's reflected in the merit pay. But
these are schools, and something comes up that's outside the ordinary every day, and our administrators do and are encouraged to and make efforts to use their vacation time, but quite often it's just simply not possible given the schedule that they run. Superintendent wanted to flesh that out a little more.
Yeah, I mean, the town has sick leave buyback. The school committee eliminated sick leave buyback because it did not fit with the culture and the model the school committee wanted.
Policy.
Right. Decision. The reason this came up now is up until last year, I had turnover administrators, Charlie Papandreou, Jeff Delaney. So it wasn't accumulated. What was happening, though, is as each administrator was leaving the district, these 40, 50, 60 days, they were coming and saying, you know, we want to be reimbursed for this. And the problem is that we can't absorb that kind of hit. And over the past 5 years, I have written memos to our administrators. I've taken away, as you've seen, a lot of days from these people. And it got to a point where it started to affect our morale. I can't ask a principal to come off vacation and make sure there's a first grade teacher there and not compensate them in some way. And so through the course of the year, I mean, when you have somebody who gets 5 days, 5 days, and then still turns back 11 days, 8 days, 3 days, it's not because they don't want to go on vacation. It's because they're placing their school responsibilities above. You know, we're doing the best we can to try to get these people out on vacation, but the early retirement bill is really having an impact on us.
How are other school systems dealing with this? How do we compare in terms of vacation benefits for our administrators to the peers in the Middlesex?
The answer is we have the lowest ratio of administrators of any community in Middlesex. We don't have the horses. We don't have an assistant principal at the elementary school. We continue the hiring process while the principal goes out, and that's what the other communities have.
But was your question, Kathy, if I understood it, how do we compare in terms of compensation to the administration?
In terms of everything, how do we compare?
Vacation time.
We have
Town
of North Reading gives all their administrators 30 days vacation. Melrose ranges from 20 to 35. Belmont gives 25 like we do. And the way it works is...
So we give 25.
Right, well, it works the first three years,
mm-hmm.
You get 20. Once you get professional teacher status, which is the fourth year, you get 5 extra days added. Wakefield ranges from 27 from 20 to 27. Watertown does 5 weeks like we do. Winchester does 20 to 25. What we found was we're right in the middle on that.
Middle or low?
Which is typical, because this is certainly the policy we've tried to advance all along. I almost hate to say that while we have the administrative staff sitting here, but we've tried to maintain a position right down the middle because we think that we have to be competitive. At the same time, be conservative. We can't afford to be at the top, and the cost of turnover tells us we can't afford to be at the bottom either.
And it took us quite a bit of effort to get to the middle of the comparative towns. As well. I mean, that's something that we've done as a policy decision to try to get our administrators to a point where we can retain our administrators, where Lexington isn't so much more attractive, not Lexington, but the other comparative towns aren't so much more attractive that we lose administrators in droves, because our system can't afford to do that.
And it is difficult. I mean, Dr. Harrington can tell you the difficulty that other towns have hiring administrative staff. There are not a lot of building principals out there. To keep the staff we have in place over a number of years is really a tribute to our administration.
I think if you pick up the Globe, there isn't a single administrator sitting in this room, including myself, that if we left tomorrow, you'd have to post the position anywhere between $5,000 to $20,000 more. My colleague in Wilmington is retiring this year. She's making $108. They posted it for $130. My colleague in Wakefield is retiring at $110. They posted his at $130. All the principalships around us are coming in much higher, and that's making it difficult too, because in the old days, new people coming in would start low and you'd move them up. New people coming in are coming in higher than the veterans sometimes in the school district.
Instead of wage compression, what you're seeing is a flip-flop now, and it makes it very difficult for a town like ours with limited resources to stay competitive. But we still think as a policy that trying our hardest to stay competitive and keeping money to our staff helps us in the long run, because as we all know, especially all of us that either manage in any industry or in any school system, turnover is expensive. Training people is expensive. Mistakes are made. Programs are set back. And we've had the benefit of this administrative team for how long, Harry? 6 years?
I'm starting my sixth year with this group.
Same group.
And that's highly unusual.
Bob, I think you had some questions.
Yeah, I think sort of the bottom line here is the Finance Committee is not in the job of deciding how a school department should be run. That's really up to you. But the Finance Committee is in the job of understanding how you're running the department.
Absolutely.
And because of the two different approaches in budgeting, we feel like we understand the town side pretty well because it's a bottom-up process. We see every tiny piece at the bottom and we can build right up to the top and really understand it. Your process is very much a top-down process where we see big numbers at the top and we keep have to asking more and more questions and drilling down further and further to get this information. So it's not always obvious to us what the different things are. It's obvious to you because you live that life, but it's not obvious to us. I served for 3 years as a liaison to the school department, and there's plenty of things I still didn't understand. I think what this really cries out for is some kind of a more standard presentation of the budget numbers to those who are not in the loop, so that people who are new and when this Finance Committee turns over can pick up documents and understand things. And you don't have to go talk to former Finance Committee chairman who 7 years ago remembered a conversation. That's not good to rely on. You really have to have any logical group of people to be able to pick up documents and understand what's going on. And I think it would be really helpful if the information presented was a little bit more in common so that we could all sort of make those judgments.
And not just for us, for town meeting too. You know, we figure our familiarity is so much more, you know, town meeting, and particularly, you know, this was a turnover in town meeting. It's got to be equally difficult for people in town meeting.
The most important thing is what we can show you, because most of what we're talking about happens in June.
Right.
So we can show you the previous year what we spent for merit and what we spent for vacation buyback. Would that be helpful?
Yes.
Oh,
excuse me. I think... But if they're in those line items, aren't you in fact budgeting for the June payout? I mean, the fiscal year closes June 30th, so in fact, they're in the numbers.
Well, the difference, though, is
yes.
The answer is yes, but what you're talking about is the difference between every year the block that we have, or I have, is, I think, $30,000 for merit. I can tell you in January that we budgeted $30,000. But I think it'd be more helpful if I show you how that $30,000 was spent the previous year. Or is it the $30,000 you want to know?
Yeah, I think when you're looking at the budget, you want to look at the budget year you're discussing.
We can do that.
I mean, and certainly I would
change in 8 years.
I would expect that history is a part of those discussions.
Right.
I mean, one thing we haven't touched on yet, and is I think it has to do with procedure as well, is we also have this base pay adjustment, and on the town side, what you see is the presentation. I mean, we had something that didn't go forward at town meeting this Tuesday on a step adjustment, et cetera, but we've had a base pay adjustment as well in the numbers here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that to me seems sort of a disconnect, that if these adjustments are warranted and are needed, that again would be anticipated and would be part of the budget package in discussion on those adjustments.
And again, I could show you one number, how that number is going to be divided up. It's very difficult in February because it's done in June.
But are you not have a process in place for you sort of put these positions in sight, you know that you believe there's a equity, those are the ones that you're going to be looking at?
Actually, what we do is we do not make equity adjustments every year. We only make them every 3 years. So when we conclude our bargaining unit contracts, then we do a complete review similar to the town. The only difference is all administrators brought in the first 3 years are brought in very low during their probationary period. And once they reach their professional teacher status, there's a large increase. Now, there's two ways to do that. You can bring them in and incrementally, but we generally keep them very low, and then once they get the professional teacher status. Other than that, as I think we told Mrs. Anthony and Mr. Cummings, you know, we have a pretty good idea, because we have three-year contracts with all our bargaining units, that something very similar to that for virtually all of the administrators, again, except those that it will be coming off their third year.
Well, again, I think it harkens back to sort of the disconnect, I mean, the lack of, to call it lack of disclosure, in the sense that you do this on a regular basis, it's part of the routine, but it's not really part of the documentation that we are privy to.
What you're really saying is, why don't you have a line item for merit pay? Why don't you have a line item? But what we do have in there is a line item for principals, and you can see the delta. And in the delta would lie the potential increases throughout the year.
Well,
and those are easily calculated.
I think it goes back to Bob's point, though, that that's sort of the drilling down, where I think what we're saying here, not to speak for the group, but speaking for myself, is that the clearer the disclosure, the less ambiguity, and we're not trying to figure it out. It's all laid out there, and you can discuss it. I mean,
you know,
along the lines of where the town needs to.
The term disclosure, all this information is disclosed. If you go back...
I use the word clearer. The clearer,
for
the disclosure.
For clarity's sake, yeah.
Right.
One of the things that I recall back when I sat on your committee back some 12 years ago now, was the school budget was a disaster. It would be presented in a box sheet by sheet. And Matt Cummings and Dr. Haritunian worked together to present a budget, and other members of the committee that were on there at the time, to present a budget in line with, in the same format that the town budget is presented in. So what you're looking at is a budget that really does mirror in form and function the town budget. You know, the fact that you say you drill down, well, it just so happens that 80% of everything we do in the schools is labor. And the labor are those big line items at the very top. And those are the issues you have to deal with right at the start. And then you get to deal with the issues of curriculum and other programs and other assets that you need to procure.
Well, I think you make a great point that the labor is a big piece of it. And that's why I think what we're discussing tonight, the clarity of laying that out becomes even more important, because you are dealing with such a substantial part of your budget.
I think you make a good point on the issue of merit.
Yeah, of clarity for that. You know, pulling in some additional information out. I think that certainly makes sense to us.
Would you as a board like to see in the school department budget a line for vacation buyback and a line for merit underneath the salaries?
That would seem to make sense. And the line for the first step increase?
I mean, it's 200.
Well, and for step?
For step?
Well, excuse me, use the town word there, for equity adjustment that you do every 3 years?
Is there a line in the town budget for equity adjustment?
No, there's not, but what we do, whatever we do a pay and classification study is, I have to go to the Board of Selectmen at a public hearing and get it approved for our, we're talking about our non-union personnel, obviously,
right.
And get it approved at a public hearing, because it's a different kind of structure than you use, and I understand that. And then it gets presented to FinCom, so there's not necessarily a line item in there that says equity adjustment, but if there's anything other than the standard, you know, step,
anything that's substandard.
There's an explanation.
Yeah.
Down into the
it's more like an extra column instead of an extra row to get from 1 year
to
the next.
We'd be happy to. If I could just remind everyone that we had this discussion on budget form issues a couple months ago, and you know, we're trying and we were working with you to see what kind of new information. Remember, we're adding a column. Is that Richard? A new column to the budget in order to give everyone more
clarity.
We've looked at budgets, or I have anyway, from other towns, and you know, you're always kind of at a loss between expanding the information and really obscuring what's going on by expanding the documentation versus trying to be as clear as you can within a set of numbers that's easily understandable. I mean, the idea is to present things in the same format repeatedly, so the questions of the past either don't have to be answered again, or you know what they are, so you know to answer them again. I mean, and I think consistency in the budget presentation is really key to that clarity. But again, if there's additional information you require, we'd certainly be glad to
And particularly, you know, since I don't think a lot of the members were aware of the merit pay and vacation buyback when we had that discussion before. Bob?
Since salaries and wages are such a large part of your budget, about how much is that?
80.
About what kind of percentage turnover have you experienced over the last 5 or 10 years?
Are you talking staff or administration?
Staff.
Staff? Staff turnover, out of about 550 employees, we were averaging about 50.
About 10%.
It dropped this past year because of layoffs to about 25.
Would you say that virtually all of that happens during the summer?
Well, I got 4 elementary teacher openings this week, so I have to say, not necessarily.
Didn't it used to, though, Harry? Wasn't it sort of the norm that the...
Oh, yeah, in years past.
There was no during a year. Yeah,
but that's changed in the last 5 years. We lose people for all kinds of reasons. But we literally have 4 elementary openings in the past month.
One question that I've always had about this is that the budget is all well and fine, and it's kind of an annual thing, but I'm not really interested in the budget, even though I'm on the finance committee. I'm interested in cash flow. Do you keep things like run rates of what your wages are? You must.
Tell me what that means.
That means that you paid out $20 in January, you paid out $21 in February for the whole operation, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. I think
what would be helpful to be presented to us, which we've never seen and we've sometimes asked for, is when you have turnover, despite the fact that at the senior level you're needing to pay up now, normally you're saving money when there's turnover in the staff.
Well, not anymore.
No. Normally you're having older teachers retire and replacing them with younger ones. Normally.
That's not been the case.
That's not been the case.
The last year or two, I'm saying normally, in a long period of time.
It's been that way for the last 5 years.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we've never seen any real sense of how does the demographics of your workforce change and what's the economic impact of that. It's just not in the budget anywhere. That's another example of a piece of information that would be helpful.
Let me say this. We don't have the personnel office to do that. And the issue is, I'll give you an example. If we have a teacher go out, I have a teacher right now that's out with a serious illness. So I have to pay that teacher, and I'm paying another teacher. And that goes on quite a bit during the year. And so any delta between, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 that I save on a particular teacher that I pick up, we don't go back to FinCon or the town and say, you know, we have this, it was a very good year and we had all these people go. We generally try to make it within the bottom line. So I don't have the staff to do that. If Richard can do it somehow, I don't know, but I don't have that capability.
It would seem to me that you do have the capability of giving a bottom line, though. It doesn't
Excuse
have
me?
To be individual. The bottom line of wages that are paid in cash.
Yeah, that we can
that
give.
We have. That would be helpful as opposed to seeing a snapshot of a budget every 12 months, which doesn't really have a lot of meat on it.
If you can articulate it to Richard so he can do it, if we can do it.
You want to see an actual versus plan on a quarterly basis?
Kind of.
Yeah. Like the quarterly report that I give you, but yeah. For the planned budget.
Let us sit down with Richard and see what's available without increasing the administrative workload.
Sure.
I think that would be, you know, we certainly don't want to create more work, but we certainly want to, again, add the clarity that you're requesting.
One thing that does cause this thing to jump around is periodically during the year, people apply for column changes, which is degrees. Okay, and that plays havoc with the bottom line too, because it, you know, a couple times a year we open the door for that.
But another just to use anecdotal evidence. I mean, you talk about being able to replace a senior person with a junior person, and at times we've had to replace a senior person retiring with a more senior person.
Right.
And just because it's all that's available, and you get into what you really can't get into, it's almost like a bidding war with other school systems.
That's correct.
And we've been fortunate because of our reputation and because of our administrators working with these people. We've been able to go out and get some of these people that other schools were working to hire. And we've tried not to always go get junior people, even though there's a significant number of junior people in our system. We've tried to balance it out because it doesn't help.
But one example I'll give you is we've had a high turnover because of retirements in the math department at the high school. I think we've had 6 teachers in the last 2 years. I have to go out and hire veteran teachers from other school districts with advanced degrees because I can't afford, in the culture of the math department, to have all B1, bachelor ones.
So your saving is offset by the need to go out and bring someone in at almost the same level as the person in the neighborhood.
Again, we're not really making judgments. We're not in a position to make judgments. But the more information like that we see, the more informed we can discuss this.
We'll talk to Richard about putting something together.